So, kumusta? Yeah. So before the talk, we're going to one of the teaching, the Golden Light Sutra, which I will be transmitting the lineage, the blessing which came from Buddha, Omniscient One, Compassionate Omniscient One, that had been transmitted unbroken, which is unbroken lineage, from my guru, Kitti Tsensha Rinpoche. I have about 25 gurus, and was one of them that was great, say, spiritual master, say, great scholar and highly attained, whose qualities like limitless sky, realizations, understanding of the Buddha Dharma. So, so this Golden Light Sutra, it is from the Buddha's teaching, maybe hundreds of volumes, from that Kanju, that there's elaborate version, a middle version, and a shorter version. There are three. So this is the short version, which I'm going to recite, transmit the lineage of this teaching, which came from Buddha. So with that, so paying some homage to the Omniscient One, kind, compassionate, the Omniscient One, Shakyamuni Buddha. So that, and then the heart, the very essence, the very heart of the Buddha Dharma, called three principal aspects of the path of enlightenment. So first I would like to say that it appears, I think many of you here are the old students, and old students, I think, before the old students before this birth, old students before this birth, anyway, so many years ago. And maybe also we have met Dharma a few years ago, or somebody was quite new to Buddha's teachings, and then maybe also could be also new ones who just maybe first time to hear Buddha Dharma. So, however, the purpose we gathered here is for happiness. Is to achieve happiness out of for oneself, or to be able to cause happiness for others. So, whichever religion one follow or practice, the wish or the aim is same. In happiness, to achieve happiness. How many different, how many hundred thousands or billions of religion there is in the world? The goal is same, to achieve happiness. Even for these insects, that those tiny insects, ants, or very tiny insects that you hardly can see with the eye. You see. Even these very tiny insects running around, keeping busy, they're doing this for happiness, to achieve happiness in the life. Including the tigers, you know, elephant, crocodiles, mosquitoes. Well, elephant, ant, elephant, mouse. So, everybody is working for, doing something for, doing something to achieve happiness. You know, whether by eating grass or by eating other animals, by eating grass, you know, plants, like the monkeys eat fruit, climb up the trees to eat fruit, or the tigers, they hide in the grass, you know, as if they don't exist there, you know, as if they're not there, you see. So, then, when they really planned well, you know, to get it, you know, when they really planned well, to catch the right time, they know the right time to capture, you see. Which one to capture, which one you can capture. then which part of the body to grab. You know, what here, from backside climb, bite. And then sometimes the animal cannot function anymore, fall down. Then, you know, or some bite here, you know, from in front, it's a bite here. Then everything what to do, you see. They haven't gone to school. They haven't gone to university or college, you know, to, you know, there's no tiger university or college. you know, train how to kill those, you know, those pitiful animals, deers and zebras, the buffaloes, you know, that they don't kill, those who don't kill other, they don't eat other animals. Anyway, they know exactly how to do, where to bite, you know, here or something, see, the right, the right place where the animal, that no matter how big, can't do anything, you know, can't do anything. So you see, they're very smart. They have their own politics. They're very expert in their own politics, how to get food. Say like that, each of their happiness, you know. So like that, you see, very expert. So even the mouse, they're very expert. They're so expert in how to, you know, achieve happiness for themselves and to harm others. They're very expert mouse. So, and maybe I tell a story that many years ago at Kapan, in Nepal, you know, so maybe people may not be aware of Kapan, name Kapan. So, this the monastery, the main monastery from where the Epimbra organization started. you see, the main monastery where, my Master Lama Ishi was kind of an old Chilean Buddhist who took care of me for many years, who founded this organization. So, this monastery built. So, there about nearly, there's a nunnery and monastery nunnery. I think maybe nearly 400 nuns, mostly from Tibet, because there's not much opportunity in Tibet to learn, so mostly came from Tibet. Then about 300 monks like that. So anyway, that the present time. Anyway, many years ago, in my room in the monastery, so I'm staying there. So Lama and myself, we had one benefactor, one nun, the American Negro, who's been school teacher for many years. We call Mami Max. And so after the first disciple, our very first Western student, who's a Russian, her name is Princess Rychavsky. Her father was king, and there was a revolution happened in Russia. Then they left Russia, they lived in France. But she grew up in France, and they lived in America, many parts of the world, and all kinds of lives she had. So after, just before she died, this other Negro, the nun, called Mama Max, she took care of us. And then after the very first Russian, the first student, Western student there, Russian, the nun, she went to the Himalaya mountains to do retreat. Lama sent people to very long retreat in the Himalaya mountains. There, the great Lama from Nyingma, the sect, Gyatri Trishin Rinpoche, who is also from whom I received also teachings. So at his monastery, to the long retreat, Lama sent. So she did the retreat and she passed away in meditation state. And at that monastery, and then Rinpoche, Gyatri Trishin Rinpoche, who is the founder of that monastery, Rinpoche said that she's in the pure land of Buddha, the deity called Vajrayogini. Rinpoche said that. And I checked with another Lama, one very high Lama in South India from Sarame, Thakyab Rinpoche, who is regarded as one of the Kadamba Geshe Potowa incarnations, very, has a highly respected, very old age Lama. So, before Rinpoche passed away, I had a chance to go to see, to receive blessing. So I asked Rinpoche where she was born. So Rinpoche said, I did a divination and said, extremely good where she was born, extremely good. Then I asked, I have one benefactor, one old mother from London who took care of me. There was another one who took care of me for 7 years when I was school or, you know, India, different places, or ITV, so she benefited me for 7 years, and I never met, but she sent letters and, you know, money to buy some more extra food, and, she sent clothing. She sent money to one English nun, who is the first nun, I think, ordained by Trungpa Geshe Rinpoche, I think, one Lama. She's, I think, the first nun. She's a follower. She's a Karmapa. Her name is Sister Raja. So that old lady, who is a member of Buddhist Society in London, she sent money to her. I made a set of robe to me and they sent. So that was my new dress on the New Year or those special days to wear. And anyway, she already passed away. There was an avalanche happened in Darjeeling, because Darjeeling is very wet, you know, a lot of rain. So where she was staying, she had a new house built, very nice new cottage was built, and the avalanche happened. So everybody screamed, "Ha! You know, please get out!" But she couldn't come out quickly. You see, I think she was packing her money and things like that. You see, so I think what happened was got late. Come out, so then the whole house collapsed. So people found that if you come out immediately, then it was good. But I think she was packing up, you know. So all house collapsed on her by holding suitcase here in the hand and an umbrella thing, you know. So I think maybe she should come out quickly, would have lived longer. So anyway, that story helps. Impermanence, very important meditation, you know, very important meditation, the nature of life, the nature of the life, reality of the life, impermanence, death, you see. So however, this old lady who took care of me for many years, when I was studying Baksa for 8 years, extremely hot place, so she passed away, and then her cousin, who also live in London, to came for to came for some time. I don't know why I'm telling the story. It's disappeared. While I'm talking, it's gone. Not sure what. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Anyway, come back to. So asked this old lady, member London Buddhist Society, her name is Richard Lady, who took care of me for, you know, the Lama and myself, we had some better food in Baksa to buy a little bit of money to buy. So this is from her, to, you know, medicines, everything from her. So asked this Lama where she's born. Then the Lama said, present at the moment is very good. At the moment it's good, Lama. The Halama said, higher than Tajapuj. At the moment it's good, but seems maybe not so good, you know, near future. So that's the story. So anyway, so Mama Max, the second benefactor of the student, so she bought one very thin zen, just called zen, very thin. The aim is to go to Japan, and she said that Japan is very hot. So that's other than the statues, Buddha statue, things that in my room, but that's the only most precious. That's the only new thing, you know, in my room. This very thin zen, you know, not complete, maybe half. So that's the only new thing I had in my room, in the drawer. So what happened was, under my bed, the Lama came, you know, I don't know how Lama found out that there was a mouse in my room, but Lama found, anyway. So then he was cook that time. He was my same class in Baksa. He was the leader of my class. But anyway, then he disrupted teaching's life. So he was cook at Kapan. Lama asked him to, you know, bring a stick and chase the mouse away from my room. So he came with the stick and chest and my bed, you know, like this. So there was a mouse made nest under my bed, you know. Under my bed, they made nest. I think it must be their home. So there was one mouse came out. Went out. Then I went after him, you know. I don't know him or her, anyway. Went after him. And then the mouse went over to a couple of monasteries, two stories, so it jumped on the vegetable field that belonged to monastery, you know. Because Lama used to like vegetable gardens, himself, sometimes pour water over the with the gardeners. So anyway, jumped down. So I saw he jumped one floor down. Then what happened was, one day I took the drawer, you know, pulled the drawer. There was the zen, this one, you know, that one new thing that there is, kind of precious thing that there is in the room, see. So it folded it many times. So what happened? The mouse came back. So hold it like this. The mouse came back, he ate. He made a hole right in the center. So when you stretch out the zen, many holes. It's very interesting. Mouth is very small like this. Very small like this. But nose how to... nose, you know, what the person cherish. Because among possessions, what person cherish. And exactly, you know, target, say. So that was very interesting. I think that was very helpful. I think very helpful to destroy my attachment. You know, cling to this Zen, you see. Then mouth helped to destroy my attachment. You know, actually, if I think, well, if I did recognize, then that's what it is. That's helping to destroy the attachment. You know, that gives you all the problems in the life. So, so that was it. So anyway, so what I was saying before is like that. There was a story that Kadampa Geshe, maybe Kamlungpa, I think, it said to me that he smiled only 3 times in the life. He smiled only 3 times in the life. So what caused him to smile? I don't remember other things, but one of the was stories anyway. while he was maintaining the hermitage, the mouse were keeping so busy, and then he looked at while he was maintaining, the mouse keeping so busy around him, see. Then he looked at him, so the mouse, so the wall, and the mouse was carrying, they have stolen one trochus from somebody, from some family in a trochus. I'm sure this again is something what the family cherish. Must say. So anyway, they're trying to bring up, collect, you know. I don't know. I mean, they can't eat that trochus and they can't wear. I mean, they can't, but that's very interesting why they take the trochus. You see. Anyway, it's very interesting. It's not medicine for them. So the Kadampa Geshe Kamlungpa, I think maybe. So one mouse lay down, see. So there's a crack, not crack, get space. You see, between the wall and the floor. So what they did is one mouse lay down, you know, like bridge. Then this mouse pushed the trochus on the backside of the mouse laying down. One lay down like this. The other mouse pushed the trochus back to reach on the other side in the hall. From that they can carry on the roof or somewhere. You know. So the lama saw. So this one time he laughed. So, yeah, I see. So they're very, see, they're very expert, and they know how to harm. They know how to harm his back, you know, exactly, see. Yeah, they keep in mind and harm back, see. Yeah, so it's incredible, you know, even they don't have human body, go to school or college, you know, like that, you know. But they, yeah, not that there are so many stories like that, you see. Anyway, doesn't matter. I think since I'm talking the story, so I think another story. one monk in Tibet who's a meditator living in the hermitage. So he lived in the hermitage during meditation, but then he checked all these animals, how they about the life, like research, you know, checking on the animal, their life, what they're doing, you know. So one time, the animal, maybe skunk, the one who gives bad smell, skunk, I think. So there was a nest on this tree, nest of the skunk on the tree. So what happened was, one day a bird there, I'm not sure, bird came. I think maybe there was an egg or something, I'm sure. So while the mother skunk's way, I think maybe skunk, I'm not sure, that it seems like the animal has long tail, you know, long tail with a lot of hairs, looks like that. So they came back, missing. So the animal thought the meditator in the cave maybe took away the baby, you see, the egg, you see. Then slowly came into hermitage through the door, you know. And then at the altar, he went at the altar and bed, sent this very bad smell at the altar. You know, at the altar. So again, he said, very bad smell on the altar. You know, I think it's short was, so it's vertical. They went. So very bad smell. So then one day, he actually saw the bird coming to, he just saw the bird coming, you know, to take out the baby. See, so then he realized it's not a meditator, it's this bird who took the baby, you see. He realized. So then one day, he came inside, came through the door, you know, quietly, you know, came. And then he went to the altar, he moved his tail like this, and the smell went away. The bad smell, you see, but at the altar, went away. Yeah, you know, went away. You see? So you see, they are very expert, you know, to harm the enemy and, to help somebody who, you know, help you and to harm back some revenge to somebody, very expert. So this Lama realized, you know, that she took as teaching, you see, that is not real meaning of life. Real purposes, something, you know, say something else than that. The even animals, they are expert in this. So, purpose human life is not just that. You see, the Lama, the mentor realized. So they realized the purposes to change the attitude, you know, to develop the mind and the path, to overcome the anger, you know, desire, ignorance, these things, you see, and to benefit others. And also, the Lama saw, he examined how the animals, they're living, how they're doing, see. Outside on the tree, this is a bird, met laid eggs in the nest. So, before this bird, another bird living high up on the rock, they were fighting, attacking to this bird who laid egg, you see, met nest on the tree outside of this lama's hermitage. So one day, snake is coming up, you see, to eat the egg. And then this bird saw that danger. So then screamed very loudly and then went up on the rock, and somehow made noise there. And the other bird who used to came down, and there's a tree like this. So there's a nest above, nest is on top of his head. So down below here, this bird which came down from the high from the rock made holes around. You know, with the beak, you see, made holes around. And then left. So the snakes that come, somehow, because of this hole, snakes couldn't go up to eat the egg. So the bird, it was the enemy before, but then somehow, when this dangerous, the bird saw the danger, it kind of, I think, made a lot of noise, went up, and the other bird came down, made the hole around, the snake could not come up to eat the egg, you see. So, you see, before enemy, but then also, said he, you know, help. So I think, the Lama found a very interesting, just watching the nature, see, the animals, the life like that, you know. Even the animals there, has it, they help others, you know, right? So which means the human beings, of course, full of opportunity to help. So must help, you see, other living beings. So that's, see. So anyway, so going back, so since everyone, including us here, everyone, what we wish is any beings wish happiness, including person who commits suicide, looks like choosing the, you know, pain, the suffering looks like. But actually, the person is looking for happiness, even the person who commits suicide. Because there's a problem in the life, so much depression also. There's a problem in the life. The person doesn't know how to deal with it. Can't bear it, cannot bear it. The person has no method in the life. How to deal or how to overcome that. So can't stand with that. So then person think, you see, no other solution, no other method. So then what comes in the person's heart, in the mind, is that, you know, to kill oneself. So only that thought comes, nothing else. You know? Then you see, by killing oneself, then thinking, you see, so you see, thinking peace. Then you don't have that relationship problem, or, you know, business problem, or you see, or whatever it is, you know, something very bad that's going to happen to you that you don't want to experience. Something, say, so then if you kill yourself, then you don't have experienced that. So it's peace. So you don't have experienced that. So therefore it's peace. So that's what the person think. Person doing, even the commit suicide, is it doing for, to achieve happiness? Even killing oneself, using that as a means, you know, to achieve happiness. So that you don't experience those relationship problems or whatever is business problem or unbelievable huge amount of money that you have paid back or debts or whatever. Or danger to a court or prison or all this, you see. But that not well taught, you see, not analyzed, didn't, you see, but no knowledge of, you see, what the mind is. what the mind is. There's a body and mind. What the mind is, without clear knowledge of what the mind is, that if the person is questioned, do you really know? Do you really 100%? Do you realize there's no life after this? The mind does not continue. The consciousness does not continue. You see, after death. Do you see? When the consciousness separate from the body, do you really know? I mean, do you really see it 100%? The consciousness stopped. When the death happened, the consciousness ceased. Do you really see it? Do you realize? Do you see it? Not just the intellectual belief or somebody explained, you know. But do you from yourself, do you really see it? You know, do you realize? I mean, cannot answer. If you think properly, you know, in straight mind, you see, think it becomes a question. See, the real answer is I don't know. That the sincere answer from the heart with a straight mind, the answer is I don't know. I don't know at that time what will happen to the mind. I don't know. That's the very sincere answer. Very sincere answer. or you feel naturally, even you believe intellectually. Even you believe intellectually, there's no reincarnation, there's no karma, no cause and effect. Even you intellectually believe, that's what you intellectually believe. But your heart doesn't say that. Your heart, the natural, your heart feeling, is something is a very something, very heavy thing going to happen. There's something waiting. So there, you see, there are people like this, you know, then there are other people, you see, not necessarily a religious person, following some faith, you see, but feeling, at the time of death, you see, at the time of death, feeling, you know, something very positive, very positive. Something, you know, you don't feel any danger, any risk, you know, totally opposite to the other person. The person feels something, you see, there's great happiness, something very good thing, you know, going to happen. You feel that, even though you're not religious, particular follower of faith, you see. But feel, you see, something very positive, good future, you know, good future. Something's going to happen. Something great happiness. Something very positive. You see, no fear at all. Some very good things going to happen. So, you see, your heart tells. So that's the result of karma. Those are the people. There's no particular faith following religion, but lived their life since with sincere. I say lived good life, sincere and especially good hearted. You know, good hearted. Generally. Doesn't want to harm others and, you know, always want to help, be kind to others, you know. So, live life like that. Even though it's a particular religion. See, so, You see, your action, how you live life, that affect, you know, that affect to your to the mental state. It affect to your mental state. It affect one's mental state. You see, that the end of the life is something very positive, something very something, you know, great happiness. You see, there's so much light in the life, no darkness. Your journey to journey to next life, see? Something very happy thing. Full confidence. So you say like that. The other one, see, live life so much with the selfish mind, the anger. With a selfish mind and desire, so this, you see, live life, say, so much with that, you know, not a kind person, see, generous, not kind person to others. So then, then you see your actions affect, you see, to your mind, to your life. So near the end of the life, you feel this something, you know, even intellectually believe there's no other life. You know, even intellectually, but your heart tells you, you see, something very bad things going to happen. Sometimes, you see. So this is the nature, say, your heart, what your heart tells, that, say, reality. You see, like that. So, however, there is no body, there is no one who has, you know, who believed the philosophy or who followed those philosophy, and that there is no reincarnation, that there is no karma or the cause and effect. You see, action, what one does. One's own attitude and one's own action. Their positive attitude, positive action, result happiness. Negative attitude, negative action, result suffering. This life and others, other lives. So, who do not, believe in this, see. So anyway, so there's nobody who realized that there's no reincarnation. There's no continuity of mind after this life. There's no continuity of karma, cause and effect. So, who realized there's no body. There's no body. But who realized that there is continuity of consciousness, you know? Continuity of karma, the cause and effect. What do you do? Your action of this life, positive, negative, has a negative effect, you know, suffering and happiness, life after this. Not only in this life, but life after this. So there, who realized this, they are numberless. And there are so many people born, developed in the past through meditation, whatever. You're born in this life with that power. Can see yours, can see others, past future life. So that. Then there are other people who, through meditation, through development of meditation, you see, able to have those clairvoyance, can see your past and future life, can see others' past and future lives through meditation. Even the ordinary clairvoyances you can achieve through mantra, through substances, power substances, through mantras. And the better quality clairvoyance is through by achieving the shamatha, calm abiding, by actually, when you actually proceed in the path, to liberation, you know, the Bodhisattva path or the path through the reciprocal path, when you proceed in the path, then higher and higher path you achieve, then your power of, say, in foresight, the clairvoyance, able to advance to see more and more the past, able to see more and more the future. Like the when you entered in the Paramedhyana Mahayana path, Paramedhyana path, the path of merit, preparatory path, rising path, path of meditation, normal learning. So when you achieve the rising path, the exalted path, then there's a 10 bhumis, 10 grounds to be achieved, which starts from the third exalted path, the rising path. So by achieving the first bhumi, you are able to see 100 lifetimes and past, and able to see future 100 lifetimes as well. Then when you reach the second level bhumi, able to see 1,000 lifetimes in the past, 1,000 lifetimes in the future, yours and others. So through the by actualizing path, then you see a deeper and deeper of see their future and also their past, yours and others. So that it is said that after achieving the by the meditators, they experience after achieving the shamatha, calm abiding, the mind becomes so calm and clear, so extremely calm and clear, that almost you can count the atoms, the sand, the dust, the sand or dust of the mountain. When the mind, through meditation, when the mind becomes so clear, after achieving shamatha, calm abiding, and so forth, on the basis of that. When the mind is, especially when we enter in the path, in those level of path, then able to develop more and more greater insight to see, foreseeing, the capacity of foreseeing, so that, so your own mind, even though you are not believing before, but through meditation, you develop your mind path, and you see, you even your own valid mind can see is wrong. You see, before you believe that there's no reincarnation, you see, there's no continuity of consciousness after life like this, do you believe your own mind, after you developed, the capacity of your mind, clarity, you see, then your own valid mind can prove, or see, what you were believing before is wrong. Not only that others are valid mind, numberless other beings, their valid mind can see past, future life, you see. That see your way of thinking is wrong. Not only that they see that, especially the omniscient one who has completed in all the understandings, those beings who has completed, whose mind is completed in the in understanding, see, they directly able to see all the past phenomena at the same time, present at the same time, future. They are omniscient ones. There's nothing more to say to develop the mind, to discover something new. Not only they see, their valid mind, omniscient mind can see that you see where things are wrong, not all that. See, yeah. Then numberless other unenlightened beings, their valid mind can see, those who can see past, future, see, they can see your mind, wrong. So what I was saying before, even your own mind, when your mind is developed, you can see, you can prove with your own valid mind, you can see the previous your thoughts, your concepts were wrong. So anyway, What's that? So I was talking about person, even the person who commits suicide is done for happiness. You know, think you kill yourself, then nothing's going to happen. But that is total wrong view. You see, there's no nothing after that. There's no suffering. That's total wrong view. So, as I just mentioned. In a brief. That the grain, the rice grain, see, it has its own continuity, rice. You see, then the corn came from another corn, it has its own continuity. It doesn't come from, say, the, put this way, the chili, you know, hot pepper, chili. It comes from its own continuity. It doesn't come, you know, doesn't come from raisin, sweet raisin. Raisin doesn't come from chili. It's raisin, the sweet, it has its own continuity. So same, body has its own continuity, substantial phenomena, form, color, shape. Mind has its own continuity. It doesn't come from the continuity of the body. Mind, which is formless, because formless, no color, no shape. Nature of the mind, which is clear, the clear light, you see, clear, crystal object. So, which has that nature, which can do that. So it has its own continuity. Like those other examples, the chili and raisin, rice and corn, that. So the mind, the conception that is taken on the fertilized egg, it had its own continuity before conception is actualized, you see. Before the mind took place on the fertilized egg. So there's a continuity, of that mind before the birth. So that this body is continuity of that, you know, fertilized egg, you see, the sperm and the egg, you know, also they are combined, you see. So two are totally different. It's a different continuity, totally different continuity, and it has a totally different principal cause, the nyelin, you know. You see, the body has its own nyelin, the principal cause, which is substantial color form, like that. And the mind, which is its own principal cause, which is, you know, the no form, no shape, no color, you see, but which is nature clear, pristine object. So that, then the other thing is that those are two preliminary reasons. Then third. About the reincarnation, see, continuity of conscience, those consciousness exists before this life, after this life, see. Then, due to habituation, due to habituation, also that proves the reincarnation, you see, that's the continual conscious life before this and life after this. That, in my case, I don't have other, not particular that I remember past life, but what I think is that when I do meditation, there are certain things, certain experience or certain things, you know. I'm not talking about realization. Certain experiences. So that makes me to believe that there is past life. When I meditate, certain experiences, you see, that did meditate in past lives. You see, not that I can remember, you know, this and that, you see. That in one family, there's a child with very selfish nature. Born with very selfish nature. Then there's another child in the same family, born very good-hearted, you know, very compassionate nature. That this child, if this child see another child being beaten, you know, if this child sees some other child being beaten, this child can't stand that and cries. Even though he or himself was not beaten by somebody else is beaten, you see, some other children. Not necessarily one's own brother, sister, not one's own family, but somebody, just in the street or somebody seeing. And you see, the child cries. Just seeing that, you know, but can't bear, you see, so much compassion, you know, that. Then there's a child, you know, totally opposite, so selfish, no compassion at all, so no sympathy or no feeling for others, you see, in the same family. So it shows two children with different characteristic mind, you see, shows that not come from the parents' mind, you know, not that. It shows completely there. One who is so selfish, you know, same, who has so much pride or so much anger or so much desire, all this, born like that, you see, that's habituation of the life before this, habituation of the mind life before this. And the one who is so compassionate, you see, so much loving nature, that is born, you know, the child born with that quality, you see, always kind to others, always want to give, you know, always want to give to, want to, see, like to give things to others. So that is a child, the quality of that mind, due to habituation, like before this, you see, habituated in a good heart, you know, like that. So for example, I think I've mentioned also in the past, but I think my mother, you know, my mother who became nun, ordained by His Holiness Dalai Lama's tutor, Lingon Rinpoche, without the many other Western Sangha, monks, nuns, you see. So she passed away and reincarnated, not at the hermitage, Lao Tzu, where I built the monastery there. At the same time, Master Lama, you see, while he was building the monastery at Kapan, Nepal, Kathmandu, you see. So, reincarnated next hermitage, which I think takes 15 minutes to walk, something that's where we get the water to the Lao Tzu, the hermitage, that has a water stream. When there's a lot of people at the Lao Tzu, when there's less people, then there's more water streams around, so we can get from that. So, So, say, as far as my mother's, reincarnation, there was no need argument. It's very clear from the child side, you know, so clear. So much I can remember of his past life. That's exactly what the child does, exactly, you know, what the mother used to do. So when the child was brought to the monastery first time, so my brother, I have one brother who's younger than me, married and have already few children. He lives in Kathmandu. So went up there to inaugurate, you know, to meet the incarnation, to inaugurate. So he did some celebration. He invited the my mother's incarnation at the monastery, at Laudo, the monastery. So when he came, when he entered the monastery, so first he went to the His Holiness throne. There was a carved table and like that. So he went to a blessing, you know, brought down. Then there was one small throne where he should sit. So he goes there, brought down, maybe to the altar. So this is how my mother used to do normally when she entered the Gomba. And then when she finished inside, then she go around the temple outside seven times. You know, go around circumference. So when the incarnation came, did exactly the same. And my mother had a prayer wheel besides it. Just because she passed away, the prayer wheel was, it was suggested for her, you know, to have prayer wheel on her, next to her bed, so that she can turn, see. So of course, my mother liked prayer wheel so much. So the incarnation, every time he comes to Laudo, he grabbed the prayer wheel, see, he grabbed the prayer wheel, and every time he offered kata to the prayer wheel before he leave, before he go back it is home, you see. And he remember all the animals. We have some animals at Laudo that Mamada took care, and she never gave to people. The animals are increasing because the baby make, you know, babies. So Mamada didn't want to give the animals away, because there's a lot of work. You have to go say, very far, you know, to collect the dry leaves from the forest. You know, up there is either you go down very steep or you go up. Much of it is like this. So life is very hard. So you have to collect dry leaves from the forest to put in, to put inside the house for the animals, so they can, they, when they lay down, keep warm. So there's so much work to do. You know, collect grass for the winter, all these, so many things to say. So my mother didn't want to give animal to other people because she's scared that the other people will sell to the butchers and they will be killed. So she just take care of every animal, you see, so increase more and more. So anyway, so the child remember some of the cows, the names, you know, cows. Anyway, so one amazing thing that is, so there was one Sherpa man, my mother's very close friend called Angpurwa. So lived in Kathmandu. So my brother together they came to see the incarnation. So they went to the hermitage where they live. So the minute Angpurwa sat down and went in the house of the incarnation, see, in the house, and the minute this Angpurwa sat down, my mother's incarnation's mother was pouring like, that's Solukumbu, there's custom, you see, you offer wine or tea, whatever this person drinks, see, usually, normally wine, chang, you see. But, so anyway, so the incarnation, you know, I don't know how, maybe less than four, I think maybe three or something like that. So immediately, able to call the name, Angpurwa. Immediately able to call the name and say, please help, please help. The mother is pouring wine or chang, you see. Maybe chang probably. So the incarnation is, Angpurwa, please help, please help. So the Angpurwa then grabbed him, the incarnation, and Angpurwa cried. I said, so he couldn't, you know, say, it became too much for him. So, like that. And then she could, the incarnation could recognize all the family members. You know, there's no shy. You know, immediately you talk. And the other people, then you see, they're shy. You see that. Even the, before my mother passed away, she came down from Solukhumbu to Kapan. So she spent some time every day go down to Bodo, the great stupa, you know, all encompassing wishfulness stupa. So my mother used to go down to a certain place, stupa. So from the nunnery, the main nun who runs the nunnery, take care of the nunnery. So she helped to accompany my mother and to go around circumvent like that for something like 3 months. So then, when incarnation came to Kapan, everybody remembered this nun. You know, who helped for 3 months to a certain stupa company, you see. And other nuns, he felt shy, see, like that. And then, my mother, you see, during my mother's time there, she had a shirt, old shirt. So she took the plastic buttons out, you see, collected in the bottle. Because in the past, many years ago, when I was Solukhumbu like that, it was very primitive. There's no kerosene, there's no coffee, no sweet tea, no sugar. Very primitive. The light, you know, when you travel, the light you use dry bamboo for if you go night time outside like that, or in the house when you make food, there's no light, so you use pieces of the tree, Geneva tree or the not that one, something else, I know, pine tree, I think, some piece of that which has some kind of like sticky thing, you know. So you light that. Light that with the flames, you see. So put in the wall where there's a hole, you see, put that, then you can see the food. So anyway, very primitive. So that time, the plastic buttons like that, you know, they come from Kathmandu or whatever, the plastic buttons are very precious. Very precious, the plastic buttons or spoon or the... You carry the spoon here, tied with the, you know, like something very precious. You see. So anyway, but you can't get they don't make it in the Suluk, you see. So anyway, so my mother, I think, continued still the same with these plastic buttons, Kevin bottle, you see. So then, after the incarnation came, then it was my sister used these buttons to make shirt for the incarnation, you see. After the shirt was put on the incarnation, my mother's, you see, the incarnation. And then the incarnation said, oh, these are my buttons. These are my buttons. So many things could remember a lot of that. So I think the reason why she can remember, why it's so clear, why it's so clear mind is a such clear memory, you see. It's, I think it's a small part of benefits of Rasaka Mani Pemi Hung. But she, the year when she came down, at that time Lama was still there. So she told me that she should go on the roof and then try to not distract the mind, close the eye and make sure the mind don't get distracted, you know. Then chant Mani Pemi Hung. I don't know what she meditated, I have no idea. You know, but closed her eyes, you know, closed at least, you know, very tightly, and then tried to not distract her mind. See, not allow mind to be distracted. So she told me that she used to recite 50,000 every day, 50,000 to Om Mani Padme Hum. so half, was it 100,000 or maybe half. So she said she's recited that every day, but now, you know, because of the old age like that, I couldn't do that much. This was before she passed away. So I think reciting of Mana Bibi Hung has a skies of benefit, but I think this is a tiny bit, you know, tiny bit of benefit from that. This is such a clear mind, you see, you know, can improve the incarnation without any doubt, you see, that from child's side, you know, can tell so many things. So that, anyway, yeah, great sad things there. I think there maybe didn't get done enough pujas, merit to have the incarnation, so I think passed away a very young time. Didn't get to maybe didn't get enough pujas, you know, eliminate obstacles, so I think passed away young time. If it happened to be in the hand of great Lama teacher, you know, that it would be so good, you know, the character, the personality, you see, so that happened. So anyway, that's just the Tony story or the very next one, the Mama, you see. In the case of Lama also, how the how he treat the different students, how he treat for some wrathful, you see, the advice or, you see, even when Lama also was, I think maybe, I don't know, 4 years or 5 years old, you know, like, Dharamsala. I think the first time came to Dharamsala, that was very young, I think. Anyway, treated exactly, that particular student, treated similar way as how past life used to talk, advise to that person, say like that. And then many places happened that, you know, when the Lamosa came, he immediately ran, you see, and the particular room that where Lama stayed, he entered that house, then the first thing he ran in that room, and then he lay down on that bed, like this, you know? So he did that the house in America, and also other student house, Italy, different places. Also quite surprising that, and sometimes what he says is it's quite, you know, like the past life, Lama Yeshe, or his advices, or his what he says. Things that the behavior, you know, when Lama was very young, when he came to Kapan, the, you know, did the inauguration, you see, and there was there. So during those times, the way of conducting, you see, exactly same as our past Lama, you see. The Lama eat orange. Lama used to do that, not early time, but later part of his, 1 or 2 years ago, I think, later part of his life, you know, Lama ate orange, then he sucked the juice and then put the stuff on the plate. So when the Lama also came at Kapan, that young time, you see, did the exact same. Sucked the juice, put the stuff on the plate, you know, exact same. And then the white one, the white Peshu, because the Peshu was this round white one. Peshu, the round white one. Lama also used to have that round. bad with this. I don't know what it's called. Pishu. Ah? Pistachio. Always have made that. When the lamas came, he liked that very much. And then the other ones, momo tupas. You know, in the past, the lama himself used to cook momo tupas. See, the Tibetan food, you know, some cook very fast, and so. And lama was the same, tupa, momo tupa, and he liked samba. Like samba very much. So when he was kapan for inauguration, so we had lunch upstairs. The inauguration, after that's done, we had lunch upstairs with the rest of the brothers, sisters. There was no father, mother, but they're just the children. So I was eating samba. So I offered to Lama also. So he liked it. So he took, then he again stretched out his hand. Then I gave another one, he took, then again he stretched out. But the brothers, sisters, I gave everybody, but they never asked for the second. They kept quiet. So I definitely believe that from the food, from the, you know, somebody who likes Tibetan food, definitely the past life is Tibetan. that's for sure. The food, actually, I think, the food, you know, who like very much Tibetan tea, you know, the butter tea, salty butter tea, you know. Anyway, so there are many things like that. In the main things, what he said, things like that. So anyway, so even oneself doesn't have clear mind to see problems of past future life through anyway, even one can't see now, but others, numberless of other, you know, even unenlightened beings can see your past and future life. And then also, when your mind becomes more clear, then is it through meditation, then you're yourself able to see your past, future life. So, like that. So.